Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8. We're going to finish up our study on the work of the Holy Spirit in assurance. And as you're turning there, we just by way of review, the first part of this study, we just looked at the doctrine of assurance and that people can know that they're saved. And then we looked at the work of the Spirit in assurance and the foundational things about knowing whether or not you're saved. You have to know for sure that you have truly repented of your sins and turned to God in the person of Jesus Christ and believed that His death, burial, and resurrection is the only way of salvation. Those are foundational things. That's why the message in the book of Acts, it was essentially repent and believe the gospel. So, repentance and saving faith are absolutely essential. If you've not been changed, you can't have any assurance that you're saved. If your life hasn't changed, if you haven't turned, if you haven't believed, you have no standing before God. And then last week we looked at the fruit of regeneration and the things that mark somebody or characterize somebody that's truly been born of God. You'll have an awareness of sin, personal sin. You know, one of the ways I knew that I was saved, nobody taught this to me. When the Lord saved me, I immediately became aware, for the first time in my life, in a real way, of my sins and my offense before God. And I felt differently about me sinning against God. I never had those thoughts or feelings before. And they are still with me today. When you're saved, sin becomes exceedingly sinful to you because it's an offense to God. You have a new desire to obey God. You have a love for God's people. You have a faith that overcomes the world. You now have an open ear to God's Word. You want to learn. You want to grow. You have a love for God. And you have a whole new attitude about life, about your service, and about this world system. This world system that is opposed to God no longer appeals to me. I'm a stranger now. I'm a pilgrim in this world. Now tonight, we're going to look for a few minutes at the last aspect, and it may be one of the most important, of the work of the Spirit in assurance. And I did ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. We've read this before. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. But verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In this verse, we find that the Holy Spirit has a witness that He bears to the fact of our salvation. This is in conjunction with that new relationship that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ, the new life that we have in Christ. The witness of the Spirit is an inner testimony of God's love for us and His acceptance of us through Christ. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as the Spirit of adoption. Here in verse 15, He says, "But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." There's also a reference to this, the Spirit of adoption, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." He is sometimes referred to as the Spirit of adoption because He actually causes the saint of God to feel like a child of God. That incites him and motivates him and moves him to run to God in prayer. All genuine prayer comes from the work of the Spirit of God in your heart, moving you to call out, to believe that God exists, to believe that He hears prayer, to go to Him with burdens and sins and troubles and trials. As a child of God, knowing the Spirit bears witness that you belong to Jesus Christ, that you're loved eternally by God the Father, that you are chosen by Him, and that you're one of His children that can go directly to Him in prayer through the work of Jesus Christ. So this is actually something we experience. The witness of the Spirit. Those who trust in Christ are free of the spirit of bondage. And now, because of this remarkable change in relationship, now we don't look at God as a judge filled with wrath against us. Now, as His children, we call Him Father. We have access to His throne. He has a hearing ear and an open heart for all of His children. To this end, the Spirit is said to cause us to cry, Abba, Father. Abba was a word meaning father that slaves were not permitted to use toward free men. And it reveals the new spirit of freedom that the believer actually feels. The Holy Spirit enables them to feel like sons rather than slaves or servants of God. That's a tremendous humbling thought, that God deals with us as His children, as His sons and daughters. And beyond this, the witness of the Spirit involves a direct manifestation of God's love and His presence in the believer's soul. God should be real to you. When we come together and worship in spirit and in truth, our hearts ought to be engaged. We ought to be moved That we have this honor, this privilege to call upon the God of heaven who has loved us, who sent His Son to die for us, who sent His Spirit into our hearts and enables us to cry out, Abba Father, to experience the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. This is not just something that we study and memorize out of a book. It's something that is internalized. That's real and substantial. In Romans 5:5, where the context is assurance, we find that God's Spirit sheds the love of God into our hearts. We actually experience the love that God has to us. He first loved us. And He manifested that love in Jesus Christ. And He reveals that love by the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing to light the truth of the Word of God. Christ promised to manifest Himself to those that love Him. In John 14:21. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus sups with those whose hearts are open to Him. And that especially is in reference to the church. He fellowships with churches. While we may not at all times enjoy these manifestations of God's love, yet like the bride in the Song of Solomon, we should pray that the Spirit would bring us these tokens of love. And it amazes me that even in times of waywardness, when your mind's not right and your heart's not right, God, through His Spirit, is still pleased to deal with us, to chasten us like a good father. We're not worthy of the witness of the Spirit. We're not worthy of His indwelling and His grace and power. The witness of the Spirit is the highest form of assurance. And every child of God should desire to experience it in ever-increasing clearness and power. Now, I study my Bible. I memorize Scripture. I believe in my position in Christ Jesus. You know, I do experience God's love. It's real. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. What I'm asking you to do as we think about the teaching of assurance and especially the witness of the Spirit, let's not be satisfied with just a mere intellectual apprehension of the truth. Let's go beyond knowing about something and actually possessing it and experiencing it on a day-to-day basis. The love and the grace that we have in Christ. Isaac Watts wrote a hymn. We'll close with that tonight. Why should the children of the King go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of Thy grace. Dost Thou not dwell in all the saints and seal them heirs of heaven? When wilt Thou banish my complaints and show my sins forgiven? assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God.